I'm just trusting whatever's happening with that is happening. For me, like I said, the quizzes are how I keep track of whether or not you were really here. And if you miss a quiz, you miss a quiz. You can't make up a quiz. And we'll have a few drops. So that means, you know, if you do have to be away for somewhere, you know, it's okay. As far as the makeup work, you know, for Bible college, what they want you to do for missed absences and stuff like that, where you have to write notes out from the recording, that's totally between you and the office over there. I'm not keeping track of that. I'm really happy to see all of you. To go through the introduction to the class and the daunted feeling of how heavy everything would be, and then to sit on that for 2 weeks is like a really super long time. And so I was like imagining like half of the class dropping because of that. But and the more time you had to lay awake at night and think about it. But today you will actually move forward and you'll get past kind of that apprehension. I'm sorry you had to go through it for so long. And it's not going to be as heavy as it might have felt like. Do any of you have any questions for me right now? Okay, because we really have to hustle today because of losing a day, losing a class time last week. Let's see. Let's pray. Yes.
Is this a 3-unit or a 2-unit?
This is 3.
Okay, on popularly it says 2.
No, it's 3. We'll fix that. I want you to get every unit out of it you can. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in class, and we pray that, Lord, that you would help us in our abilities to be able to learn and understand, and that, Lord, that you'd bless and fill each one with confidence as we do this. And, Lord, we just thank you for your word, and that we get to set aside time to study it and to learn about it. We pray, Jesus, that it's impressed on us and written on our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I was in here earlier today with school ministry. This is not Greek. This is Hebrew. So, I don't want to hurt your brains too much. Don't stare at this too long. Did you all study your alphabet?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do it together. What comes first?
Alpha.
Beta.
Gamma.
Delta.
Epsilon.
Zeta.
Eta.
Theta.
Iota.
Yoda.
Kappa.
Kappa.
Lambda.
Mu. Okay. Wait, hold on. Catch up. Mu.
New.
Xi. Omicron. Phi.
Rho.
Sigma. Final sigma. Tau.
Upsilon.
Phi. Chi. Psi. Omega.
Is it chi or chi?
It's like a chi.
Chi.
This one?
Yeah.
It's like a CH, like Loch Ness Monster. Okay. All right. Are you able to circle the vowels?
Yes.
Alpha. Epsilon.
Eta.
Iota.
Omicron.
Upsilon. Omega. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Stare at that really hard right now. Alright, you got it? So the burn in the brain a little bit. So proud of my whiteboard Greek. All right, quiz number one. Erosion's closed. Pencil, right? Everyone's writing a pencil?
When we get it, can we start?
You may start. Now, when you're done, just turn it over. Oh, you taking a quiz?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, where do we sign?
Where are you going to set?
Here.
You missed our review, but
that's okay.
Oh, the sign-in sheet? The sign-in sheet is right here. Okay, are we about done? Just a couple more minutes. Write the Greek alphabet in its correct order and circle each vowel. and include both forms of sigma.
The date?
Yeah. The date.
If you what?
I didn't. Should I redo that?
Oh, no, you're okay. It's okay. Next time we can get yours quickly better. Yes. Oh, you're good. You're fine. Okay, we're here. Just another minute. Now, when we grade and we trade papers, the original should have been a pencil and then grade it something else, so like a pen. It won't be red, but just something different. Yeah, it's fine. What?
I'm a great pill, it's good.
Okay. All right, trade papers. Trade papers. Go ahead, come on. All right, so the paper that you have, listen, there's 25 points to work with. Okay? So, potentially, there's, how many characters?
24, 2 for sigma. So
yeah, 25, and then circle the vowels. So, I'm only giving you 25 points to work with. If you run out of 25 points, then that's it. It's really, you could get potentially 32 points out of this if I included the circling of vowels, but I'm only giving you 25 points to work with as a whole. So, you've got to have the characters right and the circle of the vowels right. Okay? Now, things that could be wrong. Let's say they swap two letters, like they put two letters out of order, right? Just take one point off for that. We'll be a little merciful, right? Or let's say they missed a letter and then they got the string of letters correct after that. Well, don't mark all of those wrong. You know, just the one that they got wrong, and then they went back and they were working on the right form after that. Okay? All right? So here we go. Alpha, beta, you guys can say it with me, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, C, Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Final Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, sorry, I'm butchering it here, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. Now, vowels. Alpha, Epsilon, Eta, Iota, Lambda, okay, Omicron, sorry, Upsilon, Omega. Is that seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Wait, don't erase it.
Yeah, I'm not going to erase it. So just take a point off for each little mistake, and you're going to write at the top of the sheet how many correct over 25. Didn't I make this work 25?
Yeah.
How many correct over 25? 25 out of 25? Perfect. 24 out of 25?
You too.
23 out of 25? Everyone? Yes.
I want to make sure I'm not marking.
Okay.
Too many. So it seems like behind on one. Right, so this is from point.
Just mark that one.
Yeah, because then he goes, then he starts moving back to the right order again, right? And then he, if he leaves them out, you know, take a point off for each one he left out. Write it. If they missed it, write it in there for them. Okay?
What if you missed, like, a vowel and
that's 2 points.
Wow, you are, like, writing the name of every item. Why do you have to do that?
Because
that's why I was taking out this. Yeah, you just have to write it like that.
So,
okay, look at, so right here, this is okay, okay, just take off minus one,
because
he mixed up the order, so from here, here, okay.
I recall that now, it's like a old tree.
Alright. We're not trying to go for like rocket science here on like every little detail, okay? Alright. So swap papers back to the original owner. Okay. Let everybody kind of check out her own sheet again. Look up here at the pretty colors and write on your paper, make sure you write out your fixes where your fixes are supposed to be. Okay, how many of you got 25s? Alright, cool. Alright. Turn those over. That was practice.
Do you want to erase the board first?
Yeah, maybe.
Great.
So that was like you got like 100% on the first one, and then that's about the only one.
Don't lose your practice ones. Keep your practice ones. Okay?
All right.
Just make sure they're put away so you can't see them. You have to know the Greek alphabet. More important than anything else we're going to learn.
Put away, guys.
See, I knew that you didn't write out enough lines at home this last week, so that's why. Okay, let's go. Alpha.
Today's the 8th.
The first letter's alpha.
Well, today's the 8th.
Yes,
first letter's alpha. Studying Greek, we can't look at the outside world.
probably after class.
It's a gunshot hole in this window.
That's great.
Yeah, just a couple minutes. Another 60 seconds. First quiz, he wrote out a phonetic name of each character on a quiz. So that was pretty intense.
So annoying. Now when I'm writing in English, letters, and all of my S's look like symbols. It's annoying. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's a small problem. I can't.
You know, you're really learning Greek when you start having it in your dreams. That's when you know it's happening. Start seeing the letters in your sleep. How are we doing? Circle the vowels. Don't forget that we start and end with a vowel.
On every word?
No.
Yeah.
On your first vowel.
I get it.
So now you only have to remember five of them. So I just gave you two.
Number of completion.
That just gave everybody else the answer. That's a vowel. So circle that one. Okay. All right, trade papers. Hey, this is a good practice for me. Alpha, beta, everyone, gamma. Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta,
Theta,
Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Final Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. Where are the vowels? I told you the end and the front. And then we have Epsilon, Eta, Iota, Omicron, Upsilon. Okay, grade those.
What if you circle them as not a vowel? Is that 1 point?
No. Just look for the ones that should be circled.
Well, I love
Just look for the ones that should be circled. That they circle, although, don't just circle a whole lot of them and then hope you get lucky. I'll change my grading strategy.
So this is
okay. Write the number correct.
That's how I used to write.
Write the number correct over the top. How many out of 25? Now, next direction. You may choose which one to turn in. Did you do better on the first one or the second one? You can pick which one you want to turn in. Okay? Alright, pass those in.
Which one?
Pick the one you want to turn in. Now, you noticed on the, how many of you on Populi saw my sample quiz? Okay, so I put a PDF on Populi for this, so you could print it out, practice. Sometimes for our quizzes, they won't be this fancy. I'll just say, take out a sheet of paper and write the alphabet for me. Right? This one I made nice spaces with dotted lines and all that stuff. But every quiz for the foreseeable future will have the alphabet on it. So keep practicing writing out the alphabet. Okay? Yes?
The one that you just sent us had the line rather than that going all straight all the way through. You know how it was
this
like,
one?
Was
like that? That?
Yeah. Is that they're both
That's
correct?
Because it's a font.
Okay.
It's just a font. If you let's see, if we look in here, the font in the grammar on page 8, you have your alphabet. Everyone, open up to page 8. You guys know those little yellow sticky tabs, right? The little ones. Mm-hmm. You should keep some of those with you at all times for this class. You should take one of them and write alphabet on it and stick it as a tab in your book. So you can quickly just open the alphabet whenever you need to. Because you're going to look at that all the time. So yeah, if you look at page 8, phi down at the bottom, and we're looking at column 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth column is the lowercase, and that's what we're learning. You can see how the line goes all the way from the top through to the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes certain fonts do it different. Okay. All right. Keep your grammar open. Yes.
I just have one question. Are we going to learn like some capitals at all? Because they're all throughout the book.
You're going to reference them right now. Yeah. You can open it. That's you get the little sticky tab, page 8, and then unless we want to quiz you on capitals, like.
I'm good.
I don't do that right now. All right. Take out your workbooks. Keep your grammar open. Take out your workbooks. Turn to exercise 3. We're going to grade this together. So make sure at the top of page 1, page 1 in your workbook is the beginning of exercise 3. Make sure you put your name and the date up there in the upper right-hand corner. Somewhere. Okay. Now, hopefully you took advantage of all those dashed line spaces and you filled that up as much as possible. These are perforated, so using your thumb and your index finger, or however what method you want, let's tear these pages out. So page 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'll get a stapler. Can you say it real, please?
Thank you. Okay. And let's look at page three. Let's trade papers. Trade papers. Stapler's coming. So you're using something other than pencil now, right? To grade? Like, yep. So let's just pass the stapler around so we can staple those.
Whoa. I was already stapled.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, we traded.
Oops.
And then we're grading. So okay, pass the stapler back. And then you're switching work. Okay. All right. What are the seven vowels?
Alpha,
epsilon,
eta,
iota,
omicron,
upsilon, omega. All right. So you may have a point for each of those.
On the grammar,
yep, so that's like plus 7.
Plus 7?
Sure, like plus, you know, 7 or 6 out of 7 or 5 out of 7. Turn to page 4. When do you find the two different forms of sigma? Okay, so the technical answer is on page... Where is that?
I understand what you mean. It's more recent than the book. I was thinking of writing that too.
Where in the grammar does it actually say that? Oh, 3.2. If your grammar's look on page 9, you can see that on paragraph 3.2. Do you guys see how he... When we reference the grammar, when we move quickly through the grammar has each paragraph numbered in the blue. So that tells you what chapter that we're in, and then what paragraph number. So like 3.2 is like the second paragraph in the second section of chapter 3, or paragraph. Okay, so he says in there, there's two sigmas in Greek. Final sigma occurs at the end of a word, and the regular sigma occurs everywhere else. Or something like that. But you could say the beginning and the middle, or just everywhere else. Okay? Number, and that's worth 2 points. Number 3. What are the two breathing marks, and where do you find them? What do we call them?
Rough and smooth.
Excuse me, rough and smooth. So we have... I always remember Carl is rough. That's how I remember that one. Rough and smooth. Where do we find them?
Place over the first vowel and adds a cough sound to the word.
Page 10 in your grammar. Page 10 in your grammar. 3.4. A rough breathing is placed over the first vowel and adds an H sound to it, like hoop hair. And every word that begins with a rho or upsilon has a rough breathing. So if you have a word that begins with a vowel, if you have a vowel starting a word, there's going to be a breathing mark. Right? Either way. If there's a rho or an upsilon that starts the word, then it's for sure going to be rough. Okay, but other than that, it could be either one. So the definition on the smooth breathing is placed over the first vowel and is not pronounced. Like apostolos, it's not apostolos, it's apostolos. Okay, so simple answer. Rough and smooth. Every word that starts with a vowel has a breather. And then the rough for sure goes over rho or upsilon. So that's worth 2 points. These points are like so easy. It's racking up points everywhere. Okay. How does the iota subscript affect pronunciation? We did this in class, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is too slow. No. Okay. All right. It does not. That was a trick question. Ha ha, Dr. Mounts. It doesn't affect pronunciation. What does it affect?
Translation.
Translation, which is everything. It's all about the translation. That's the most important part. Everything, the difference between an NIV and an NASB is right there. Translation. Number, okay, so that's worth 1 point. Diaresis. Not really seen too often. But what do they do? When do you see a diaresis used?
When two vowels are next to each other.
What would normally be a diphthong, and therefore a diphthong is two vowels that make one sound, right?
Yeah.
But if we wanted to force it into separate sounds, they would put a diaresis. So if we had in English the word oil, right? Is this a diphthong?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because it makes one sound. We don't say, I oil. You know, we don't say that, right? It's oil. Now, but if there was a diaresis here, you know, or something like that, then, oh, we know that we need to force them to be separate.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. Be above the letter. Yeah. You're hardly ever gonna see that. It's placed over the second vowel. Okay. Now that's worth 1 point. So let's add that up. You may have 20 points for all of that writing you did on the alphabet. So 20 plus 7, let's see. Okay, 20 plus 13.
33.
All right, so put the number correct over 33. The number correct over 33. Is this the one you're grading? Okay. Huh? You didn't have to circle the vowels. Man, you're harsh. Okay, so that's one, right? So that means he got 32 out of 33. Did you guys get 20 for the
question? Oh, yeah. Did you guys not get it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't feel bad.
He was hogging.
That's okay. Don't
I put the back on. I felt so.
All right, let's make sure I understand. So the calligraphy part is worth 20 points. The question portions is worth 13. So the total earned possible is 33. So how many correct over 33? Now, one thing I forgot to have you do on your quizzes is make sure you initial your letters, right, your initials right next to the score so I know who to blame on grading. Just initial it. Initial your grade. As long as we can find you. Okay, and let's pass those in. You're getting so much fun.
It's going to be like we'll start with an inch long and then be like a run, go, breather.
I don't want to miss out.
Yeah, I think that's how
they do it. No, it'd be who? What would it be?
You can drop it off to the Bible College office and have them call me.
Because who's the one? Who?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. Isn't that exciting? You guys did your first quiz and your first homework assignment. Feels good. Feels good. All right. Let's review. In your grammar, page 10. Page 10.
Do you have a book?
You forgot? All right, somebody share.
Page 10. Paragraph 3.5 is entitled what? Diphthongs. Number one, a diphthong is two vowels that produce one sound. The second vowel is always what?
Iota
or upsilon. So that means if you had an omega as the second vowel, would you have a diphthong?
No.
Yeah. Only if you have the two vowels and they're followed, the second one is the iota or upsilon. You have I, A, oi, au, oo, we, and oo. I just wanted to review that. Improper diphthong is when you have the iota subscripting, right? But does not affect pronunciation. It will only be something you have to pay attention to in translation. So they didn't want to lose that little iota at the end. So they swing underneath the alpha, the eta, or the omega. Does everyone see that? Okay. We are ready to move on.
Excuse me, I just have a question.
Oh, okay, we're not. All right.
Sorry. On the pronunciation, and you're saying iota, it sounds different every time.
I know.
I've
had two different professors teaching me growing
what
up.
What is the right?
You could say iota. That would be more classical Greek. So it's iota, iota.
That's what I was hearing.
Yeah, sometimes I say iota, like Star Wars iota.
I said iota.
Yoda.
Right.
Who said that? Mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, I feel better. All right, so yeah, iota. Yoda's good. Yoda, sometimes I add in a little in the front of it. But, all right. So, yeah, I had one professor from the South, and I had Dr. Mounts and different guys teaching me how to say Yoda or Yoda. All right, chapter 4 in your grammar. Punctuation and syllabification. Let me just give you my interpretation of this chapter at the top. Punctuation is really easy because the number one punctuation you have to look out for is a period. Right? Nothing, there's not anything different between Greek and English in that. So there you go. You guys still look scared sometimes. The one that's weird, the one that's different is the question mark. When you have a question mark in Greek, it will look like a semicolon. So you'll be reading in the Greek text, and then all of a sudden you will have this at the end. That's the question mark. So somehow it grew from there to that. Okay? That's the most one of the most important things to learn on punctuation. Syllabification is important for your reading to be able to kind of sound out the words. And it's kind of more of a common sense way of learning that how the words are shaped and formed. And it's just a familiarity thing. The more we kind of do it, it has kind of a natural flow to it. And that's the summary of this chapter. That's what's important. But let's still look at it. 4.1, Greek punctuation. You can see in that chart there the word theos. What does theos mean?
God.
And you can see the comma. Looks like a comma. The period looks like a period. The semicolon looks like a what?
Question.
No.
A period
above the line. I don't know this. Who invented this? But which came first, the chicken or the egg? If this came first, or if our English came first? Because a lot of this punctuation was invented later. But I'm thinking it still, you know, predates our modern usage of punctuation. Okay, so the period above the line, up there, that's just floating. That's the semicolon, and then the actual semicolon that looks like the English semicolon is the question mark. And we won't look at the footnotes. We'll stay away from those right now. Diacritical marks. Diaresis, we've already looked at.
An apostrophe. This is interesting. See under 4.2? When certain prepositions and conjunctions end with a what?
Vowel.
A vowel. Highlight that. Vowel. And the next word begins with a
vowel.
So back-to-back vowels. The final vowel of the first word drops out. This is called elision. It is marked by an apostrophe, which is placed where the vowel was dropped. Now, do we do this in English?
We do, right? He's got an example there of can not. Why do we want to abbreviate that?
It saves a lot of space,
right? So, can't. We saved two spots by doing that.
So it's the same thing in Greek. If they had two vowels back to back, like you see in the example there, apa emu. Everyone say apa emu. Okay? They thought, man, we don't want them back to back. So we're gonna take that final vowel out and drop it out. And but then just so we don't miss it, they put an apostrophe there. That is not how it appeared in the earliest manuscripts. The earliest manuscripts didn't have the apostrophe. They just dropped the vowel. Shorthand. They also didn't use spaces because they're trying to save space. Parchment was not cheap, right? Or papyrus was not cheap. So they weren't using spaces. And what would be a possible mistake is to think that these two words were actually one word. But they were so good at their own language that they knew that it wasn't. We're not. So we'll put a space between them, and then we'll also put an apostrophe there so that we'll catch it and we'll know. Okay? That's all of this.
It was pronounced differently, then, because it's a conjunction, right?
What is pronounced different? It's still a pa.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Well, you would know that it's a pa, and you would say probably a pa when you're if you're reading it out loud. I don't think you'd say a, maybe a pa, because you knew that's what the word was. Okay. Here we go. Number three. After break. I say break. Yes. Is the air on in here?
No, it's hot.
Man.
I don't think it is. It's hot. All
right. Let's say something.
Can you order it for me? This is my There were a few days ago, everything was like 15 or 55% off, and shipping is like $4 or $5. Well, I'm talking about online.
Oh, online?
Christian books.
Is it like with the 50% off, do you still have to pay the extra additional for shipping and
well,
stuff?
Well, there's...
Yes.
I bought our last card and another little book, and the shipping was less than $5.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But it still hasn't come, so you might want to do expedite shipping,
which
still isn't that bad. For them. And they're pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And if you say 50% on the book, then
I'll
just make sure that
you need to get
I'm really frustrated.
If you can't look great, I don't know if they're even.
So you feel great.
That felt, Oh, you left it at home. Oh, okay.
I'll show you how to create the first ones and then show you how to create the assignments.
Okay.
Like how to word them. Like what to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After class.
Smart.
Alright, we're missing some of these people. We're waiting for you. Okay. And one more.
Yeah, she's in the office.
She is? Can you run and get her? I don't want her to miss accents. So important. Okay, back to page 13 of your grammar, page 13. Under section 4.2, number 3, accents. Almost every, that's Mount's speak right there, he talks like that all the time. Almost every Greek word has an accent mark. It's placed over a vowel and shows which syllable receives the stress. Originally, the accent was a pitch accent. The voice rose or dropped, or rose and dropped. Eventually, it became a stress accent, as we have it today in English. Ignore that footnote. Most teachers are satisfied with students simply placing stress on the accented symbol. So, it's not going to be a major thing, but it used to be, when I took Greek for the first time, we had whole exercises on learning how to place the accents in the right place, but we're not doing that. We just need to know about them and recognize them. So, the acute accent shows that the pitch originally went up a little on the accented syllable. So, I-te-o, I guess. But notice the diphthong at the front, right? The grave accent shows the voice originally dropped a little on the accented syllable. Kai, theos. So there's a little bit of a drop there. That won't be in your quiz. The circumflex accent shows that the voice rose and dropped a little on the accented syllable. So, hag, no, nos, I'm trying to like, but, hagnos. Okay. So what are the three accents? Acute, grave, circumflex. So the acute, most important thing is to recognize that the acute accent's going this way, the grave accent is going this way, and what is that?
Circumflex.
This probably, in this grammar, learning Greek in this book, the circumflex is probably the most important. Because very often when you see a circumflex, it will be a trigger to tell you that something changed inside the word. Not all the time, but if you see a circumflex, you go, well, there might be some change going on. That's one of the most important reasons to be kind of aware of the circumflex. All right. So, look at page 14, second paragraph. The question then becomes, when do you use which accent? Opinions vary from viewing the rules of accent placement as essential to being unnecessary. So you have an entire spectrum of opinion. I have a book over in my library that's this thick on nothing but accents. Exciting reading. And then you have other opinions saying it doesn't really matter. Since the original biblical manuscripts did not have them, and since, in my opinion, they unnecessarily burden the beginning student, I skipped the rules of accent placement. Say, thank you, Dr. Mouse.
Thank you, Dr. Mouse.
If your teacher thinks you need to learn them, they're listed in the advanced information section of this chapter. We won't do that. Yeah. Okay. However, this does not mean that accents are worthless and should be ignored. Far from it. They serve us very well in three areas. Here they are. Pronunciation. If all the students in the class accent any syllable they wish, it will be difficult to talk to each other. Consistently placing stress on the accented syllable creates a desirable, necessary uniformity. So we will try, with Dr. Mounce as our guide, if you guys are listening to him on the side, to make sure we're all saying the words the same way. Memorization. If you do not force yourself to say a word the same way every time, a memorization becomes really hard. Imagine trying to memorize the word koinonia if you did not decide which syllable to accent. Oh boy. Try pronouncing koinonia four times, each time stressing a different syllable. That would be kind of crazy. Koinonia. Or koinonia. So you really have to know. It's koinonia. Identification. There are a few words that are identical that we're going to learn, except for their accents. Just a few. Tis, with the accent, can mean who, the question, an interrogative. And tis, without the accent, is the pronoun someone. Everyone see that? You could highlight that if you wanted to. There are also a few verbal forms where knowing the accent is helpful, and I will point these out, these words and forms as you meet them. However, just remember that accents were not part of the original text and are open to interpretation. All right, now, syllabification. How to divide words. In order to pronounce a Greek word, you must break it down into syllables. Syllabification. There's two ways to do this. The first is to recognize that Greek words syllabify in basically the same manner as English. Therefore, if you go with your feelings, it makes me think of a song. Feelings. Sorry, my brain just went there. You will syllabify Greek words almost automatically. If you practice reading 1 John 1 and the exercises of this chapter, syllabification should not be a problem. I have read it for you on the website class. It is essential that you master the process of syllabification, otherwise you will never be able to pronounce the words consistently, and you will have trouble memorizing them and communicating with your classmates. Okay, so we're going to go through this here. This is kind of best learned just like a feel for the language. When you see vowels, you've got another syllable. Unless you have a diphthong. Then that is two vowels that make one sound, hence one syllable. Right?
Okay, so we're going to go through these rules. Do not let them crush you, you know, mentally. This is the fog a little bit here as we're going into the foggy area, but it'll make sense later. Okay, here's the second way to learn the rules. Number one, there is one vowel per syllable. I said that, right? Yeah. So, ah, ke, ka, amen. Say the first one. So, we're just breaking that up by every time there's a vowel or a diphthong, we're giving it another syllable. Mar, tu, ru, men. Does everybody see that? All right, so that's pretty easy. Number two, a single consonant by itself goes with the following vowel. So you have these vowels and consonants, but how do you know where to break it as far as the consonants? The single consonant by itself goes with the following vowel. So look at the second example there. E, the, a, sa, me, tha. So the consonant is, look at the first, you have epsilon, the theta, epsilon. The theta, did it go with the first vowel or the following vowel?
Following.
It went with the following vowel. So we broke the epsilon off and then went theta, epsilon. We didn't go F, E. It went F, the. Does everybody see that? Does anyone not see that? Okay.
So are these two examples, are they the same word or?
No. Different words.
Okay.
No, just multiple examples.
Gotcha.
So you feel like you've got more than one to work with. So you understand other than that? Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we've got epsilon and a theta and an epsilon. Right? And we know that we're going to break the syllables up by the vowels, right? So where does this theta go? Does it go here or does it go here?
It goes back to the second
one. It goes to the second one, the following one, right? So it's going to go here as far as our syllables go. Number three, two consecutive vowels that do not form a diphthong are divided. So, a, th, e. So, if we had this, is that a true diphthong?
No.
No. So, this has to be separated out into the next syllable.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yep. If I have this word here, the beginning of a word,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Where am I going to break up these syllables?
Okay. Epsilon would be one.
I see a syllable here. Mm-hmm. I see a syllable here and here. Right?
Yeah.
The first exercise, we had to decide where to send this.
Mm-hmm.
We sent it here.
Yeah.
Now, is this a diphthong?
No.
So these are each a separate syllable. So we're going to break it up by a syllable.
That's because a diphthong ends with either a iota or a upsilon?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Aha.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm fluent.
All right. Okay. Number three. Oh, we did that. Number four. A consonant cluster that cannot be pronounced together is divided. And the first consonant goes with the preceding vowel. So see the first example there? M-pra-sen. So the mu and the p in the p there. They can't go, you can't say mph, right? Everyone see that?
Yeah.
What's the third group?
Mm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? You can't make one syllable with the mu and the p.
Yeah.
Oops, I almost did my name.
Yeah, that is
word. Right?
That's too much going on right there. So what do we have to do? We have to break that. So that's each in a separate syllable.
So those the M and the P would be considered a consonant cluster?
A consonant cluster? Yeah.
Is that a term, or am I just...
No, that's what he said right there. It's a cluster of consonants happening all right there. They're clustering. They're trying to cluster together. But we're going to break them. The M, A.
But for sigma and theta, those ones are pronounced together?
Yeah, we're getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, number 5. A consonant cluster that can be pronounced together goes with the following vowel. So, if we have the word Christos. Oh, look. Regular sigma, final sigma. Right? All right. So, where are we going to break this? How many vowels do we have?
Two.
We have this one here, and we have a iota and an omicron, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so we have basically two syllables, right? But look at this little... Sorry, my sigma's lame.
Yeah,
I'm talking
delta.
Yeah, all right. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. If we did it in Hebrew, it would be this way. But I won't do that. Okay.
Oh, no.
That was this morning. Okay. So, Christos, we've got two vowels. We've got that. We're sure about that. But here's a consonantal cluster. A little consonants clustering together, being happy, happy together. Right? What are we going to do?
Break them.
What is that? Was that what the rule said?
No, keep them together.
Rule number 4 said to break them, right? But what does rule 5 say? What does rule 5 actually say?
Because
we can handle sound, right? We can handle that, right? Can't handle... But this we can handle. So we're going to break that right there. And they're going to go... It's going to go to the following vowel. So, Christos.
Same thing with the first cluster.
That's right. Well, but there's nothing preceding it.
Okay, absolutely.
But they can go together.
Okay, I see.
We got that? Okay. 6. Double consonants are divided. The same consonant occurring 2 times. So, gamma, gamma. So you can see in the first example, apogelumen. Now, what do we call a double gamma?
A nasal.
Yeah, look back on page 9, under 3.3.
Gamma nasal.
See 3.3, number 4? Gamma is usually a hard g sound. Right? However, when it is immediately followed by gamma, kappa, chi, or xi, it is pronounced as a n. For example, angelos is pronounced angelos. The gamma pronounced like a n is called a gamma nasal. Okay, so.
First gamma gets the n sound.
Watch the magic here. How does this gamma sound? Right? That's a nasal gamma. But now we're talking about syllabification. Right? What's the rule that we're learning about double consonants?
Just put them up.
Hi-yah! Right? Does that help you remember it?
Yes.
Ah! Karate chop. It's like Inspector Clouseau. I don't know if the new Inspector Clouseau do that? Or is that only the older one, the original? He's like, Kato, down! Alright, sorry. Okay. Does Steve Martin, Inspector Clouseau do karate?
I think he did.
He did?
Yeah.
That's why it's funny. A French guy doing karate is funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to keep it light here. Okay. So, this is an N sound, but remember, the rule we're looking at is for syllabification, two double consonants, right? So, this is going to get broken there. Now where am I going to... What's the next break? How many vowels do I have? Like I have one here.
Three.
One here. And one here.
After the epsilon?
Yeah. Why?
Because that's the next vowel. And then the next consonant would have to go with the following.
Are you guys hearing all that?
Can you repeat it, please?
He's doing syllabification magic right now.
Yes.
You said that you were underlining the vowels, but then you underlined sigma.
Oh, well.
No, I'm just trying to get it so low that it's kind of down here.
Oh, okay.
Because the sigma's kind of in the way.
Okay.
So. All right. Technical? It's okay. All right. So, what rule were you just talking about? Where's the lambda going?
What the following vowel?
Yeah,
the following vowel.
Yes. Which rule is that?
Single consonant by itself goes with the following vowel.
Okay. So we've got to decide where to put this consonant lambda right here. Which syllable? And it's by itself. So it's going to go with the following vowel.
Yeah.
So, in, get, loss. Okay. Number seven, the last. The number of completion. Compound words are divided where they're joined. What is a compound word? You haven't had those yet. Well, it's when you take a preposition, and instead of the preposition being by itself, it's actually part of the word. So you've heard of Antichrist, right? Okay. Antichristos, there it is right there. Ooh, Antichrist. Now, Antichrist is one word. Antichristos is one word. But it's really made up of a preposition, anti, against, and Christos, right? So, where do we split compound words when they show up like that? Right where the preposition and the word came together. That makes it its own syllable sound. All right, summary. The period above the line is a Greek semicolon, and an English semicolon is a Greek question mark. There are three accents. You don't have to really know much about them other than to know them and see them. And English syllabification basically follows Greek syllabification, and that's good. All right, homework. Workbook. Exercise 4. Exercise 4. All right. I want this group right here to do numbers 1 and 2. You three back here do 3 and 4. You guys do 5 and 6. And you guys can turn around here and do 7 and 8. Okay? So get in your groups for just a few minutes and syllabify. Exercise 4. Divide the following words into syllables. If you're learning the rules, indicate which rule you're using. Okay?
Go after the alpha, right? Because there's two consonants in there. Go after the alpha.
Okay, you ready?
What?
What?
Yeah.
You guys are done?
Yeah.
I think this time next year, you have like
Is this a fourth semester thing?
Yeah, you don't have to, but that's
that's one of our vocabulary. It means writing.
Third, fourth semester, the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold out.
I'm gonna hang around. Yeah.
One, two. Writing and scripture.
Yeah.
I like scripture.
Three and four. Three and four.
I'll be graduated, so I can just take three.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Can you,
In Spanish,
the way that it looks in the book, it kind of looks like a fancy fly.
Like that?
Oh, it's supposed to have a little loop, though? Yeah. Okay.
Is there a thing we don't write it with the loop?
Sure. Wait, page 8. Page 8, take out your magnifying glass and see if there's any space in that loop in there.
Nope. That's why I don't have a loop to look at it.
In the afternoon? It's the afternoon right now.
It looks like they
I'm going to blow that up big.
It looks like a fancy line.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, it's so thick, too.
Okay. All right, let's get back. Let's gather back here. Who had number 1? You guys up here?
Yes.
Where did you syllabify? Where did you break it?
After the alpha. After the alpha.
Okay. Shh. Wait. You guys are turning this in. So this is, I'm just helping you with your homework right now. So make sure you're listening. Make sure you've got an answer for 1 through 10. Okay. So you guys said after the alpha. That is correct. What are the rules? There's one vowel or diphthong per syllable, right? And the moo is set by rule number 2. The consonant goes by itself, goes with the following vowel. And the nu is also set by rule number 2. it cannot go
It stays as a final ADA. Yes.
Can you write it out on the board? Or
there's only one alpha there. Right?
He said it. I just... Okay. You can help him if he...
Okay. So alpha... that's where you have to decide to break it is what are you going to do with that moo there? So it's main.
Yeah, look for the second rule.
Okay. We got to go faster. Number two. Where'd you guys break it?
After
alpha. Gra-fei. That is correct. Yes. All right, who had number three? Ooh, this is why it took you guys so long, huh? Okay. How many syllables are number three?
It's three.
Three. That's right. And where did you break it?
After sigma. After alpha.
Yes.
And then...
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The sigma key is a consonantal cluster because it has two consonants in a row, right? Okay. Therefore, you could use either rule number four or five or six. It is not a double consonant because they're different, right? It's not sigma, sigma. So we don't use six. Therefore, we use either four or five, depending upon whether or not sigma key can be pronounced together. If you looked back in the lexicon, which you didn't, we would find the word skozo, indicating that there is that sigma key can begin a word, and therefore can be pronounced together. Skizo. So you'd have... Right? So this would... You didn't know this. But I'm just telling you. From the lexicon, if you found a word like this, well, you can't... There's no vowels here, right? So this cannot be split. Therefore, you would know that you're splitting right there. And that would tell you, as a beginning Greek student, in a few weeks, that this that they can go together. Okay. So, in this case... We're going to split it after the epsilon. So it's going to go e, ska, tos.
Oh, it's after the epsilon.
Yep. E, and then ska, tos. All right, how about cardia? How many syllables?
Two.
Is Yoda Alpha a diphthong?
Nope.
Is Yoda Alpha a diphthong?
No.
Why?
Because it's not ending in a second letter. Yoda. Yoda.
Ah. Page. What page is that? Page. Page 10. 3.5. Diphthongs. The second vowel is always a yoda or an upsilon. So that is not a diphthong. So how many syllables?
Three.
Three. Cardia.
Oh.
Cardia. All right. We're not grading at this point. You're still penciling here. Okay. Number five. Who did number five?
Wait, what was the rule for number four?
Does the rule really matter? Okay,
no.
Sorry. It does. Army cardia? What's the rule in cardia or eschatos? Cardia, right?
Yeah.
Alright. The row and the delta is a consonantal cluster because it's two consonants in a row. Therefore, we're going to go to rules 4, 5, and 6, right? But it is not a double consonant, so we can't use 6. Therefore, it's either 4 or 5, depending upon whether or not rho and delta can be pronounced together. If we go to the lexicon, we don't find any words that start with a rho and a delta. But since the lexicon in the back of the back is not exhausted. It's still possible that a work begins and the row delta exists. To be certain, we'd have to go to an exhaustive search, like with your computer, or a big, big, giant lexicon. But for now, the lexicon, if the lexicon on the back of the textbook doesn't list such a word, we can assume that one doesn't exist. Given that assumption, which is correct, we follow rule 4. What's rule 4?
Consonant that cannot be pronounced together is divided, and the first consonant goes with the preceding vowel.
So we split them.
So we split it.
Car or
D.
Dia?
Yeah, okay.
D. Okay. All right. Who had number 5? Numa. In the back. What do you have for Numa? How many syllables?
Three.
Ooh.
So after the P, after the upsilon.
Okay. So you're right. We have a diphthong, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we know the diphthong is one sound, correct? So it's easy to split the U from the ma, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what do we do with the P and the nu?
We don't know.
Right. This is rule number 5. What's rule 5?
Consonant cluster that can be pronounced together goes with the following vowel. But it includes a consonant cluster form with the...
We do know because the word starts with the consonant cluster.
And there's no vowel to proceed.
Yeah, there's nowhere to put that. Right? But look at the number 5. You have the rule, consonant cluster can be pronounced together, goes with the following vowel. This includes a consonant cluster formed with mu or nu as the second letter. Everyone see that?
Yes.
Mm. Yes. So it's 2 syllables. Numa. Numa. It's not penuma. It's numa.
Wait,
so right, breath.
Yes.
So it's broken up right after the diphthong.
After the diphthong. So just 2 syllables.
So the P is basically...
You getting all this? Huh? So you can turn it in?
Okay. So why are the P and the U?
Well, there's not another vowel there for the P. That's one thing. Okay. And we learned on rule number 5 that when you have 2 consonants, especially when the second letter is a mu or a nu, they go together. Okay. Numa. Number 6. How many syllables?
3 syllables.
That is correct. Pra, fe, tase. Number 7. This is tricky. Number 7, how many syllables?
3.
Well, it's not your group. Sorry. Okay. Do you have a consensus? Are you the group leader?
Nobody else is talking, so thought I'd jump in.
All right, yeah, 3.
Do you want me to tell you what?
Sure.
Okay, after the beta, like in between those two?
Yep. Beta, you split those.
Yeah, and then you split it. Alpha and tau.
That's right. A tau goes with the next vowel. Very good. Sometimes that tricks people because they want to say sab and then a ton. But it's sab ba ton. Number 8. Another consonant cluster. Where are we splitting 8? How many syllables? Same group.
3.
That's right, because gamma is a consonant cluster. We're splitting that. And we have a nasal there, right? And get loss. Number 9. Anthropos. 3 syllables. Number 10. Ooh, this is a doozy. How many syllables are in this one?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
How come? Isn't that a diphthong there at the end?
No.
Why?
Because there's no Upsilon or Yoda at the end of it.
Did you guys get that? Everyone?
What's the question?
Well, the two vowels that are next to each other?
The two vowels separated. At the end, are they a diphthong?
No.
That's right. So that's a separate syllable, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Peripateo. Peripateo. Just kind of go around. Okay. All right. Each one of those questions is worth 2 points. So you should have given yourself 20 out of 20 on this assignment at the top. 20 out of 20. But don't tear it out. Save it. Yeah, you can put it up there in pen, 20, 20. You can initial your own. Write your name and the date in the top right corner. We're not going to tear these out yet until next week because I want you to take home pages 6 and 7. But next week when you come back, you'll hand me exercise 4. Okay? All right. Look in your workbook. Let's go through this quickly. Page 9. Then we'll take a break.
Page
9 in the workbook. This review, or the review, gives you an opportunity to evaluate your performance to this point. Treat it like a test. So you have your workbook. You know your workbook, right? Get any paper?
Yep.
Okay, you write the answers on it. Okay. Number 1. Someone tell me, what is a gamma nasal? Yes.
1, 2, 3.
And? What happens?
You pronounce the first one as an M and the second one as a G.
That's right. Is it just gammas, though?
No, it could be...
Page 9.
No, it's when gamma, kappa, P, or...
C. Yes. So when you have a gamma and then one of those others, then you have a gamma nasal.
Okay, so just to reiterate what
yes.
you just said. So if there's two kappas.
No.
If it's gamma kappa.
Oh, if it's gamma kappa.
We don't start this conversation unless we have this.
Gotcha. Okay, so if it's gamma kappa.
Then after that.
It's okay.
Could be a gamma, a kappa, a chi, or a xi. So if we had gamma gamma, we could have gamma xi.
Yeah.
This would be, how would it sound?
Yeah.
Xi. Right? Xi. Because this would be an N sound.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, the first one has the new sound to it.
But wouldn't those be separated?
Like the name.
So it doesn't affect the letter after it then, unless it's two gammas.
Yeah, this doesn't do an N sound unless there's another gamma.
Yeah, but then if you have like gamma kappa, it doesn't affect the kappa; it only affects the gamma. Right?
That's right.
Okay.
The N sound is just on the first one.
Okay, so.
But the observation up here was, wouldn't you split these?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. We just did that in our exercise, right? So this would be split too. And the syllabification.
But it still changes the way you
Yeah, that's right. It still has that N sound. But you're going to syllabify it right there. You guys, you guys are doing really well, unless you're faking it. You're doing really well on the comprehension side. Like little nuances like this and stuff. This is really good. This is encouraging. I want you to know that. You guys are doing pretty well. I think what you're showing means you're going to retain it. Okay, that was number 1. Number 2, what's a diphthong? Yep. Speedy Gonzalez back there. That's
right. So concise, too.
That's right. So a diphthong is two vowels and make one sound. What's an improper diphthong?
when there are two vowels ending in a yoda or a upsilon that aren't together, or not the THCs.
The subscript yoda.
What?
Any two vowels that are yoda?
No.
The subscript
it's
yoda.
Made up of that.
One of your answers was right.
The
question is, which one of you?
Yeah. Has the Yoda subscript?
Page 10. Page 10, 3.5, number 2. Does everyone see that? An improper diphthong is made up of vowel and a Yoda subscript. Remember the vowels alpha, eta, or omega. Make sure you're writing that in. When do we use an apostrophe?
Elision.
Yes, very good. Elision. That is on page 13. Page 13. Certain preposition and conjunctions end with a vowel. The next word begins with a vowel. The final vowel of the word drops out. This is called elision, and it's marked with an apostrophe. So when you have a letter drop out, and they replace it with an apostrophe, that's elision. That was very good. We're turning these in today, so make sure you get it all filled in here. Elision. Okay, exercise number 1. Write out the alphabet. Go for it. Are we done? This is at least like the 10th time we've written it out today, right? You gotta get this done so we go to break. Okay, ready? How are the two sigmas used in one word?
The one that looks like an S? Is that the
what would be an example?
Final sigma is at the end. The regular sigma is anywhere else in the word or in the beginning.
Yeah, so it could be beginning or middle, anywhere, or and then its final sigma would be the end.
Angle.
What would be
a word? Angle and Christos?
So how about a word?
Christos?
Yes. No.
That's like, you're sounding almost Latin-y on me there. Christos, right?
Christos.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. And, is Anthropos? No, what am I thinking of?
Apostolos.
Apostolos, thank you. Apostolos. Apostolos. Loss will be one, or Chris, toss, Just write one of those. Okay, give an example of a smooth breathing mark and a rough breathing mark.
Well, if you wrote out apostolos, you could do that. Right? When we learned about the rough breather, what was the example? Compare.
Where do we syllabify this? Anyone?
No.
No. Two vowels, right? So the P goes where?
The second syllable.
They're following, right? So who care? You guys are doing really well. Okay, number four, punctuation marks. Match the Greek punctuation mark with its function. We thought in a college class that you get to do matching. All right. So there's the, on the left side there, you have the punctuation, I'm going to tell you the answer, the comma, right? So you draw a line from there to the comma. What's the next one? Period. So you draw a line to the period. The dot that's hovering there in midair above the line, that's your semicolon. And then the semicolon is what? The question mark. Five accents. Match the appropriate accent mark with the proper name. What do we call the first one?
Circumflex.
B. Acute. C. Rob. How does an accent affect a translation?
It does not.
Ah, it's tricky.
Does it affect pronunciation?
No, but translation.
So when your voice rises or falls?
No, that's pronunciation. It doesn't normally affect it except in certain words, like tis. Remember that? So tis, you could have it written without an accent, or you could have it with an accent. The difference is between a pronoun and a question. That was on page, where was that? Where am I? I don't report to you. Where is it? Where is it?
Oh, 14, under identification.
Yes. Page 14, see the three check marks? The third one is identification. A few words are identical except for their accents. Tis, for the accent, is the question who, or without it, it's the pronoun someone. Syllabification. Divide the following words into their syllables. Okay. Yes.
I just wanted to get the answer to number 10. So,
how does what?
An accent affect the translation?
Usually doesn't, except in certain words.
Usually doesn't.
Okay, syllabify. Didascone. Didascone. The sigma goes with what? Is it didascone or is it didascone?
The second one?
Yes. Sigma, kappa go together. So three syllables. Didascone. No, B. Dia martu ramenas. Dia martu ramenas. Nas to the end. So how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. So F, D and A, you get a break there. Mar goes together. To, Ra, Men, or excuse me, Meh, Nas.
Do you want us to write separately on the line?
Or you can draw lines. Can we say it again?
Yes, please.
Okay, D and A are separate. Mar is one syllable. Two is one syllable. Ra is one syllable. Meh, Nas. Seven. Okay, next word.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to write it.
D, Mar, Tu, Ro, Men, Nas.
Oh, no.
I almost ran out of space.
DMR2 raw mass. Except I just, I like to say men, and it's not right. It's menos. It's because of something else you'll learn later, but that's DMR2 Ra Menos. DMR2 Ra Menos. Okay, now the third one, letter C. Anthropos. Anthropos. So there's three. D. Legantes. Legantes. And then E. Where do we break that?
Between
the two what?
Yeah.
What are they?
Lambdas.
Lambdas. Lambda, lambda, lambda. Alright, so. Ball. Low. Ball. Low. Okay. Make sure your name is in the upper right-hand corner. And the date. You should have given yourself 25 out of 25 on that. 25 points. Let's tear that one out and pass that in. Wow, we caught up on our homework. How about that? Awesome.
Wow.
Okay.
My
phone's on. It is 2:59. So we will reconvene at 3:05. 3:06. 3:06. iPhone is master time. Okay. So work daily. Do a little bit every day. We're going to get into now some stuff that you can do on every day. Writing your alphabet once a day, that would be cool, right? But we're going to have vocabulary in a second. Okay, work hard. The most important part of learning anything in life, especially a language, is discipline. There simply is no substitute for the hard work of memorizing, reading, working through the examples, and working hard to try to understand what each lesson is attempting to teach. Above all, keep up with your assignments, both in grammar and especially in what?
Vocabulary.
Yes. Once you get behind, you need to work doubly hard to catch up as class moves ahead. Look around. There are people like here today, and some of them are planning on being here, but they are already what?
Behind.
They're already behind. And a daily discipline like this, that is bad. That hurts. It's hard to catch up. 4, work smart. Use the tools that are at hand for you, the computer tools that are available either for your PC or handheld device, etc., blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really apply yet. That comes later. Learn the proper terminology. Many times a student's problem stems not from the fact that she cannot understand a particular concept. I'm so used to the school of ministry, right? It's like all guys. So, she cannot understand a particular concept, but from the fact that she does not understand the terms that are being used. In Appendix 1 of this work, you find a glossary of selected grammatical terms. Did I assign that yet?
What?
On the reading? The glossary?
Mm-hmm.
I always usually do that. It's good to know these words. But some of these are scary. Okay. Alright. We'll go through the glossary later. When these terms are used in the body of this book here, Lamerson, they'll be followed by an asterisk, indicating you find a short definition of them in the appendix. That's kind of cool in this book. So you're reading along and you see an asterisk in your general reading. That means you can actually flip over to the definition. He has that in the glossary, that word. For when you don't know what that word is. And 6, do not neglect what? Your vocabulary. This is critical. All the grammatical knowledge in the world will be of little value to you if you do not know what the words mean. Okay? Then you give some suggestions in the second appendix for vocab memorization. Okay? So, just some, you probably already know all that, but it's kind of good to review good study habits. Back to your grammar. Let's introduce vocabulary. Page 16, top of the page. One of the frustrating parts of learning a language is memorization, especially memorizing vocabulary. And yet, memorizing vocabulary is one of the essential elements if you are going to enjoy this language. If you have to look up every other word, it loses the charm. Because you are learning biblical Greek, there are a set number of words, and statistically there are a few significant facts. Okay, this makes it more fun. There are 5,423 different words in the New Testament. Now you know. They occur a total of 138,167 times. But there are only 313 words, 5% of that total, that occur 50 times or more. For special reasons, I will also ask you to learn 6 more words that occur less than 50 times. So there's only 6 that are unique, like that he's going to have us learn. These 319 words account for 110,425 word occurrences, or 79.92% of the total word count. Almost 4 out of 5. So, how many total words in the New Testament? 5,423. If you learn the 313 that he picks out, how much of the Bible do you know?
80%.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. Some of you are like, the math part is like not happening. For example, chi, this is the Greek word for and, occurs 9,161 times. You say and a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Learn that one word and you now know 6.5% of the Bible. Yes.
Is this talking about, like, Old Testament, New Testament?
Greek New Testament.
Okay.
Yeah. What is the Old Testament written in?
Hebrew. The Septuagint.
Yeah. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. Yeah. So what was the Old Testament originally written in?
Hebrew.
What was the New Testament originally written in?
Greek.
Greek, yeah. Although, what Old Testament was Paul using while he was writing?
Septuagint.
The Greek translation of the Old Testament. Which is why the quotations don't sometimes match the Old Testament, because he was using the Greek translation of it.
Mm. How do we know that? Because
they match.
That makes sense. Isn't there some Aramaic in, like...
Yes.
In Daniel, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Aramaic was the language that was spoken in Babylon. Mm-hmm. Right? They were in exile.
Yeah.
So when they came out of Babylon, back to the land of Israel, they were, after having been there 70 plus years, they were using a lot of Aramaic. Aramaic and Hebrew are both Semitic languages. So they're very similar in sound. Their script is different, how they write. But how they sound is very similar. Sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. So there's even Aramaic in the New Testament. Jesus on the cross. So the Lama Sabachthani, that's not Hebrew, that's Aramaic. So on the ground, at the time of Jesus, Aramaic was still how they were talking in the Second Temple period. What did they have in the synagogue? The Hebrew. Right. What was the commerce language?
Aramaic.
Greek.
I'm just guessing.
Now you know why, when Jesus was on the cross and they put a sign up above him, they put it in so many languages. Because that was what was going on. Metropolitan kind of stuff. Okay. Alright. The point is that if you learn these 319 words well, you can read the bulk of the New Testament. I think it is counterproductive at this point to learn more unless you really like doing things like that. Your time is better spent reading the Bible or learning grammar. And 319 words are not very many. Most introductory textbooks of other languages have about 2,000 words. So if you took French or Spanish, your goal would be about 2,000 words. So this is easy, isn't it?
Yes.
319. Just think about that. That's great. It's encouraging. Okay, and that's what he says right there. Look at that. For encouragement, I have included a parenthesis how many times each vocabulary word occurs. And at the end of every chapter, I will tell you what percent of the 138,167 occurrences you now know. In this chapter, I have listed some Greek words that have come directly into English. That's called a cognate. Seeing the similarities between languages can be helpful. Some of the cognates are not part of many people's vocabulary, but I have found that it is still helpful to know that the cognates exist. Most of the cognates and their definitions are drawn from Ernest Cline's masterful study, Etymological Dictionary, with good suggestions from Bruce Metzger's Lexical Aids. I bet you've never read a paragraph that mentioned cognate as much as that one right there. Right? But remember,
Never define a Greek word on the basis of its English cognate. Don't do that. English was not a language until much, much later, so it had no impact on the meaning of Greek. Think of as many cognates as you can for the following words. I list cognates in the footnotes. Notice that I list more information for each word than just the word and its meaning. For example, for angulos, I have angulos, comma, dash, u, dash, ha. Why do I say ha right there?
Rough.
Very good. See the rough breather on the Omicron? Caleb, you see that? Ha. For now, ignore the additional information. You will learn what it means in subsequent chapters. I want to tell you so bad right now what it means. But I won't. The definitions I give, called glosses. Why do you need to know that word? Because sometimes other books will say this is the gloss of the word. That means the definition. Are at best rough approximations of the meaning of the Greek word. In any two languages, there are rarely, if ever, equivalent words. The multiple glosses, what does gloss mean?
Definition.
The multiple glosses are an attempt to replicate the semantic range of the Greek word. I love reading this book. The semantic range of the Greek word. Some, you've heard semantics, like, for that word. So, that is the idea of the range of meaning. Okay, I'm not going to... That gets into other stuff, hermeneutics and stuff. Okay. All right, here we go. If I can get my contacts to clear at 325 right now, so I can see the page in front of me. Okay. Angulos. Say angulos.
Angulos.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ha.
Ha.
All right, now I'm going to tell you. Just so you know. Because I think if I tell you now you don't really remember that well, then the next time I tell you, you'll remember it better. Right? Okay. So, this is a noun, right?
Yes.
And don't you guys feel good that you know how to syllabify that now? Isn't that fun? You know how to do that? Is that a smooth or a rough breathe?
Smooth.
What kind of accent is that?
It's a
Q. Does that affect the meaning?
No.
No. Okay. Then you have a dash and an oo. Is that a diphthong?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Confidence. Yes. Diphthong. All right. And then a ha with what kind of breather?
Rough.
He has known so much already. Okay, now, here's what's going on. This is a noun. He gives us the definition, right? Angel or messenger. And what's in parentheses?
How many times
what?
In
the New Testament. So the word for angel or messenger is in the New Testament 175 times. That's cool. When we learn nouns, they are going to function in a certain way in a sentence. What are some of the ways nouns could function in a sentence?
Object, subject.
Typically. What's another way? Then that would be different. That would not be a noun then. A noun is a person, place, or thing, right?
An indirect object.
Okay, so within the objective case, you could have direct object, right? That would be like a subcategory. Direct object, or you could have indirect object, right? Correct? Remember 10th grade?
No. Not really.
What's another way it could function?
What if what if you
like from Baron?
You saw the object, right? Okay. What if you don't have an action verb, but you have a linking verb? Like the verb is. My wife is Trina. Trina is an angel.
So the subject would be your wife.
Trina is a subject, but I'm using angelos. Yeah. How is that functioning in that sentence?
Adjective?
No. Kind of. It's describing the innate quality of my wife.
But it's still a noun.
What?
But it's still a noun.
Still a noun.
So how is it
a
pronoun?
No. No, pronoun would be like he, she, it.
Yeah. It's a...
Oof. It's going deep. You should know this, because you just finished sixth grade.
You should.
You're smartest kid.
But he's been all that grammar stuff, right? He's been diagramming all that
stuff. That's actually boring.
Yeah. Okay. What does that stand for?
Pronoun.
Nope.
Final.
Huh?
Proper.
Nope. Train is a proper noun, but angel.
Is that preposition?
What's another word for, what's the fancy word for a verb? Starts with a P.
Preposition?
No. Predicate. So,
somebody needs to explain to English teachers that you're never going to use these later because obviously nobody has used them in a while. So,
you're using them right now. Okay, so if I have is and I have a subject and I have another noun, then this noun on this side, the predicate noun, is telling me something about the quality of the head noun, the subject. That's a predicate noun. You could have predicate adjectives too, but angulos is not an adjective, right? It's a noun. Okay, so this is a little bit of English here. Nouns can function as subject, object, direct object, indirect objects, predicates, predicate nouns. Now, in, if you've been reading ahead in the book, when we want to change this word from one function to another, from subject to object, how do we do that? We change the endings. So, sigma right here tells us, take a guess, what usage?
Normal noun, subject.
Subject. Not because it's a sigma and we say subject and it starts with an S. That would be pretty tricky, like the Greeks had English in mind of that. But it just so happens that that tells us that it's functioning as a subject. If we wrote out angelon, we have now moved to the object. Okay? So it's still, this is angel, and this is angel, but this is subject, and this is object. All we changed is this one letter right here. Yes?
Why would you put the N there if those other translations don't, or those just, this is something else besides those
two? I haven't gone to this yet.
Okay, cool, okay, changes to object, got it.
Yes. Yes.
Is it always like that?
Yes. For second declension nouns.
Okay. I don't know yet.
Okay, now. Angay. Lou, what did I change?
The ending.
Just, we've gone from sigma to nu to upsilon. Right? So, what's changing? The function is changing. What function is angelou? This is what we call the possessive function. So, this would be
if I said the angel's hat, or the angel's car, or the angel's robe, right? I'm showing possession. So therefore, it's got to have that upsilon ending.
I'm like as in English with the punctuation.
Yeah, like Baron's car. Yeah.
Can a word end with a diphthong?
Yes. Now, all of that is next week.
And what about the rough O?
Okay. I just wanted to, like, tease your brain a little bit to teach you about subjects and objects, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So are there different declensions? Are those, like...
No. Don't do that yet. Okay. So, when you look there at angelos-u, he's showing you one of the alternate endings. All right? Now, what is this?
Article.
This is the article, the definite article. Translated into English means what? The. The.
So where would you put that on angelos?
It actually would go up here. It would look like this. Ha angelos, the angel.
Okay. Cool.
Why do we need to know this? Why does he include it with your vocabulary? For later on. Because the article in Greek is your best friend. It is your best friend. It will unlock all Greek nouns for you. So that's why he tells you the definite article for that word is ha.
Is the definite article for that word ha? But is it... Does it always mean the? All the time?
The.
Even on a different word?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. That's enough.
Definitely.
That's enough. All you need to know right now is angelos means what?
Angel or messenger.
Angel or messenger. That's all you need to know. Next word. Amen. Amen. Verily, truly, amen. So let it be. Anthropos. Say anthropos.
Anthropos.
And then then ha. We're not worried about that yet. Man, mankind, person, people, humankind, human being. Say apostolos. Apostle, envoy, messenger. Galilei.
Galilei.
I think that's a... Oh, yeah. That's not diphthong there. Sorry. Okay. I don't like that word. Galilee. Galilee. Galilei. Now, look at what's different with the ending. Is it an U ending?
No, it's an AS.
It's an OS ending. And then look at the definite article. Is it a HA?
No.
It's a HEY.
A.
Okay, so it's a different category of word. Don't have to worry about that right now. Just showing you that. All you have to know is that that means Galilee. Graphe. Say graphe.
Graphe.
Graphe. Writing. Scripture. Think of things like graphite. Right? With an autograph. Doxa. Say doxa.
Doxa.
Doxology. You heard of doxology? What does doxa mean? Glory, majesty, fame. Ego.
Ego.
Say ego.
Ego.
Say ego.
Ego.
Yes. All right. I. So that's a pronoun meaning I. Jesus said... What in Greek?
Ego
eimi.
Ego eimi.
This is the verb to be, meaning I am. I am. So this is like saying I myself am. But this was the Greek translation of what Hebrew word?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. So, this could be I am feeling great. But when you had this combination of the pronoun basically reduplicating itself, this ego a me clause, that's when Jesus said, before Abraham was I am, it was ego a me. And that's when they picked up stones, because he was claiming to be Yahweh. Okay. Eschatos. Say eschatos.
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 Let's labify that right. Wasn't it eschatos, right? The sigma went with the key, right? Eschatos. And that means last, like eschatology, study of last things. Zoe. Zoe means life. Have you ever been to a zoo?
Zoo.
Right? Zoe. Zoo. So, zoology, study of life kind of stuff. Okay. Theos.
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 Okay. God, capital G, or it could be lowercase God. Kai.
Kai.
Kai. And, look at the range of meaning here. And, even, also, namely. Cardia.
Cardia.
Cardia. Heart. Inner self. What's the study of the heart?
Cardiology.
Cosmos.
Cosmos.
Cosmos. World. Universe. Humankind. Cosmology. Study of what?
Cosmos. Universe.
Large-scale structure of the universe.
The physical universe, cosmology, everything. Yes.
Cosmos, if we were to solidify that, would the S go to M, or would you split that up?
I'm splitting it.
Okay.
Yeah. Logos.
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 Logos. Logos.
Everyone say logos.
Logos. Logos.
Yes. Word, it could be the word. It also means statement or message. Pneuma.
Pneuma.
Pneuma. It's getting late, huh?
Yes. Going back to logos, when word is capitalized, would the lambda be capitalized too?
No. Because it was either written all lowercase, and then a few years later they wrote everything in uppercase. So they didn't differentiate that way.
When it was originally written. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how would you know that it should be capitalized?
Because you're interpreting it. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Would it be because there's the article before it? The
nope.
Word?
No? Well, maybe. But it depends more on the context. Mm. Yes.
It says, by Spirit, I mean the Holy Spirit. Remember in Greek there are no silent consonants, so the P is pronounced in English, for example,
E
is not pronounced.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways, but since we don't have a vowel there, right, and it's one syllable, so it's like pneuma. You know, pneuma. But there's, if you do that, you've added like another syllable. So pneuma, I just say pneuma, pneumatos. Notice how we now have a third kind of ending there. We've had ooh, we've had ace and os, and now we have atos. And look at the article. We've had ha, hey, and now what do we have?
Ta. No.
Ta. Yeah. So we're going to learn more about that later. Okay? Prophetes. Prophetes. Means, okay, we should say that word. Prophetes.
Prophetes.
Means prophet. Sabbaton.
Sabbaton.
Sabbath or week. And phone. Everyone. Phone. Sound. Noise. Voice.
I see a bee.
Turn the page. Turn the page. Christos.
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 This means Christ, Messiah, or Anointed One.
And then down below that we have some proper names. Those are kind of obvious. Abraham, David, Paulos, Petros, Pilatos, and Simon. Simon. So those are some proper names. Now, once you learn these vocab, you already know 11.5% of the Bible. See that below that? You're learning 26 words, but that's 11% of the New Testament. Now, this brings us to vocabulary cards. So, this week, your pilgrim's progress, your burden begins. You're carrying your burden with you. You need to start your vocabulary cards. You can either store-buy cards, or you can make them. I like making them because you're writing them out, and it's part of the learning process. And so you have like the Greek word on one side, and then you have the definition on the back. I like to write on here what chapter I got this word from. Right now, all you're going to have is chapter 4 in yours. And then I put in parentheses, I even put down here how many occurrences in the New Testament. So I just remember that stuff. So for next week, you need to have your vocabulary cards and bring them with you for up through chapter 4 vocabulary. So how many cards is that? 26 cards, right? 26 cards. So Angelos through Christos is really what I'm worried about. Proper, you can make the ones for proper names if you want to. So you need to bring those cards because part of your assignment for next week is a quiz on the fact that you actually have your cards with you. Okay? So vocabulary and alphabet. Now, on your quiz, I will give you 10 words on your quiz from your vocabulary. All right? So you will start having vocabulary quizzes starting next Monday. So, 26 words, I will pick 10. What does angelos mean?
Messenger.
Angel, messenger. You got to get at least one of those definitions.
Logos.
Logos means what?
The word.
Apostolos.
Apostle.
Prophetes.
Prophet.
See, you guys already know so much of this list already. Sabbaton.
Sabbath.
Graphe.
Writing the scripture.
Writing. Theos.
God.
This is easy. I'll pick a hard one. Cardia.
Heart.
Okay, I'll pick a harder one. Eschatos.
Last.
How about ego?
I.
Proper, the pronoun. How about phone?
Sound.
Like a phonograph, right? How about amen?
Amen.
Verily, verily, or amen. How about chi?
And.
Yeah.
Even.
And even also or namely. As long as you get and for next week, you're good. Okay, here's a hard one. Doxa.
Glory.
Doxology, right? So, okay, glory, majesty, and fame. All right, so you guys are cruising here for your quiz. It's going to be easy, but make sure you do your cards. Okay, you had a question?
Yeah, you had some apps on your phone that you're familiar
with. Yes. The website, if you want to, you know, quiz yourself with a preset list that people have already made, it's called Quizlet. Like quiz and then L-E-T, quizlet.com. Yes.
This is unrelated.
Okay.
So I remember looking through Blue Letter Bible, or maybe it was another Greek program, when I was learning theology, and the Greek had some uppercase and lowercase, and so is all of that just interpretation based on the
interpreter? Well, if it's a proper name, like Galilee or Abraham, they'll capitalize that, and that should, at the beginning of a sentence, you know, so if it's going in the period and then you'll have a capital. Yeah, but that's all later on that they did that.
Because I remember there was a little debate because there was the word he, and it could either be interpreted either Jesus or someone else.
Right.
And so we were kind of like, okay, well, let's go back to the Greek. And so our teacher pulled up, and it was capital. And so I'm like, okay, I guess it was Jesus, or it was lowercase. No, in the New King James, it was capital. But right. In the Greek, it was lowercase.
Because in the translations, they're making an interpretive call on that.
Right.
And the Greek name.
Okay. Yeah. So just kind of
totally.
That.
Well, you've got pronouns. He, she, it, they, we, us. Right. You have to figure out what the antecedent is, what the noun is that's standing in for. Right. So like with Paul, like he goes on and on and on and on and on all these pronouns, and you're like, okay, well, is he talking about Jesus here? Is he talking about us? You know what happened? So that's when it gets into understanding the context of what the antecedent. Antecedent means the head noun for what the pronouns stand for.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and sometimes like New Living. This is really interesting stuff, by the way. Sorry. But, like sometimes the New Living Translation, maybe the NIV, but New Living Translation, it may be a pronoun in the Greek, but because it's been so far from the head noun antecedent, they'll take that noun and put it back in there instead of the pronoun again, so you don't lose track.
Gotcha.
A lot of people don't like that. Oh, that's not what the Greek's pronoun. Yeah. But, you know, the more you learn about the language, you'll catch all those nuances. Yes?
Green NLT and the NIV, would you say that's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a great thing to read the Bible.
No, when they replace the pronoun with the noun?
Well, it's because the NLT is written in basically like third grade English. So it's like really accessible for people that don't have like church background, you know, and so they're helping you to not lose track of what you're reading. So it's okay. I like the NLT. A lot of the scholars that worked on the NASB worked on the NIV, but the purpose of each translation is a little bit different. Well, what was the goal of the translation committee? Like Dr. Mounts, right? He was the head of the New Testament committee for the ESV, right? But he was also on the committee for the NIV. And because he publishes with Zondervan, when he writes a book, guess which translation he has to use? The NIV. Because he's under contract with Zondervan. Even though he was the head dude on the ESV translation. Yeah. So, well, he's getting paid. So. All right. Any other questions?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone say hi, Pastor John.
It's not over yet, is it?
Hi, Pastor John.
Okay. So next week you're bringing in vocab cards. You're gonna be ready for a quiz on the 26th vocab. You are gonna be ready for the alphabet again. The homework that I'm letting you keep in your workbook, right? The reason I'm letting you keep it is because on the back page of that is a section of 1 John, or is it the Gospel of John?
It's 1 John.
Yeah. What he wants you to do is just, in a syllabifying way, just read. Read the text. Read the scriptures that way so that your brain can start to kind of adjust a little bit. So it's just a fun exercise. So do that this week also. Okay? All right? Yes?
And just double-checking the vocab words are 17, what's on page 17, 18, that old section we just read.
Okay. And then with the proper names, it makes it...
You said we're doing the proper names as well?
I'm not going to quiz you on the proper names. I'm going to quiz you on Angelos or Christos.
Okay. No, you know, some of them probably have like different, or, like angel and messenger.
You've got to get at least one of the definitions.
Like when you made your cards, did you put all of them?
I did. Yeah, but on the quiz, you got to get at least one of those definitions. You guys all hear that? On the quiz. Like for Angelos, there's more than one definition, but all you have to get at least one of them for your quiz. Yes. I would, because you're in a couple of weeks you'll be using that. Okay. All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
You mentioned earlier the angel's hat. Do you have a spiritual reference for that?
For which?
The angel's hat.
No, I made that up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's straight out of LDS or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hey guys, does anyone want these extra quizzes for practicing? Right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
okay, so after you're done.
Hey, yeah, hey,
you don't need practice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I was like, I'm brave.